This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
And so the answer, if we have a sin problem, is not to do these four or five or how many steps we might have of self-refinement. The answer is to come before God pleading, saying, I need your word and your spirit to do a work through your word in my life to cleanse me and to rid me of these sins that are plaguing me.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, The Helper and His Book.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to 2 Peter chapter 1. We learn more about God's Holy Spirit and specifically how God's Holy Spirit wrote a book. Now we call that book the Bible. And what a gift God's Word is to us, that we have in our possession a record of God's Word to us. And it's not a dead record, but it's a living record that God speaks to us actively, intimately, personally, through His Word. What a gift we have of having God's book. You know, God's Holy Spirit, He used failing and flawed human instruments to write a book. But He superintended those authors in such a way that what they wrote was exactly His perfect word, a word without error, a word that was completely authoritative. So when we think of the Bible, we don't think of it as a book written by a lot of good men, but we think of it as a book written by God Himself, and that makes all the difference. That's why we're excited at Knowing Christ to teach God's word. So let's open up to 2 Peter chapter 1 together today.
What or whom do you trust to bring you a true message from God? Today, many answer that in many different ways. Some say, well, I listen to God by being silent before the Lord and waiting for Him to speak directly to me through an inner voice. Others suggest that there are some private prayer listening techniques, that prayer is mostly about listening, and if I follow these techniques, that God will speak. Others go to people like Todd Burpo, who in his book, Heaven is for Real, claimed his son Colton went to heaven and returned with new revelations about heaven so we know what heaven is more like than what Scripture tells us. Others go to seminars where they learn some new mystical practices for listening to God. Others believe that their own consciences are enough, sort of a rationalistic way of saying, well, I think God gave me thoughts, and whatever's in my thoughts, as long as it applies to reason, it must be true. And that's how I know what God's truth is. So let me ask you, how do you listen to God? Perhaps one of the most important questions that any believer could answer, how do you listen to God? What do you trust to deliver to you God's sure word? The Holy Spirit answers this question by raising up His book saying, I wrote a book. I wrote a book so that you can know that this message is from God and not from man, so that you can hear God speak to you powerfully and perfectly every day. The book I wrote is 100% reliable because I am God, a very God, and I am 100% reliable. It is a reliable guide for your life in every important matter. I didn't leave anything important out of it. Every word of it is true. Every word of it is from me. You know, today, oftentimes there is a conflict that people have in their mind between being a Holy Spirit person and being a Bible person. And that conflict should not be, because to be a Holy Spirit person is to be a Bible person. You know, if we are people who are in love with the Holy Spirit and walk by the Spirit and are filled by the Spirit, then we're going to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us. That's how we know what the Spirit is saying and doing. To not be a Bible person is to reject the book that the Holy Spirit wrote. And He wrote it for our help because we need a written source to feed us, an objective source so that we will not be deceived by false teachers. Paul would say, all Scripture is breathed out by God. He agrees with Peter in this regard. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's very word to us today. This book is not merely a record of what God said in the past. This book is not merely a record of history. This book is a record of what God is currently saying to His people today. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, for the word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And every child of God understands what Hebrews 4:12 is talking about because we've experienced it. We open up God's word and it's sharp like a two-edged sword, cutting away our flesh, cutting away our selfishness. It reveals our true intentions and it reveals where we're self-willed, where we're rebellious. Every time we open it, it reveals something new to help us become conformed to the image of Christ, to hear God's will speaking directly to our daily lives. Why would the Holy Spirit write a book if he could have simply chosen to give personal revelations, mystical messages to each worshiper every day? And here's the answer. Because we have an enemy, Satan, who deceives us. He is a deceiver. And our flesh is very prone to deception. Go back to Genesis 3 to discover that. Even before sin captured this human heart, Adam and Eve were still taken in by the deception of the evil one in relationship to what is a true word from God or not. And from that day forward, Satan has used his influence to deceive God's people regarding what is truth from God and what are ideas that should be rejected as false. If Satan can place our feet upon a foundation of subjective experiences, he has us standing on shifting ground upon which our whole house of our soul will fall in a time of storm. The Holy Spirit wrote a book so that we would have an eternal, objective, consistent, unerring, irrefutable, authoritative, absolute source of God's revelation to us. Can I hear an amen to that? Isn't that amazing? What a gift! The Holy Spirit helps us by writing a book. And this book, because it's written by the Holy Spirit, is pure and perfect and sure and trustworthy. Let's consider what God's word says about itself. Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times, the utmost purity. Again, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Again, the decrees are very trustworthy. Again, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. And again, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So I urge you to doubt any other source of revelation as being from God. Doubt it, question it, challenge it, test it. Do not trust it. But yes, trust the Holy Spirit's book. The Holy Spirit's book can be trusted like nothing else can be trusted because we know it is the very word of God. One of the strange deceptions that false teachers make upon followers of Jesus is to convince us that other communications are just as reliable or even more reliable, more accessible, more powerful than the Holy Spirit's book. They say the Holy Spirit's book is good, but these other forms of revelation are even better. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to a young pastor. He says, I charge you in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, preach what? The word. Preach the word. That's what God's people need. They need to hear the word of God. And he says, and be ready in season, out of season, whether people are ready to hear it or they hate you for preaching it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And all that's with authority because it's all based on the word, with complete patience and then teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will not endure God's word. But having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions, who say things that come from mystical revelations that are not from God. And they'll turn away then. The people of God will turn away from listening to what? The truth. And they'll wander off into myths. And that's Peter's heart here. So the Bible, the Holy Spirit wrote a book. The Holy Spirit wrote a trustworthy book. And lastly, the Holy Spirit wrote a helpful book. Verse 19 again, he says, you will do well to pay attention. In other words, life is going to be great in terms of you living for eternal joy and eternal treasure. You're going to do really great because this book is sufficient for you to do well in life. If you pay attention to this prophetic word of Scripture, why did the Holy Spirit write a book? Because he's our helper, and he knows we need help. Before Kimberly and I had any children, we had a couple ask us to spend a long weekend at their house watching over their kids and their house. So we lived in a little apartment. This is a huge, massive house. We never lived in this massive house. And they had a couple of kids. We'd never, you know, been in charge of kids for that long before. It was intimidating. You know, we didn't know anything about the house and how it worked. We didn't know about these kids. How is this going to work? So we got together with the mom about an hour before they were to leave on their trip and leave us behind. And you know what? We had such relief. And you know why? Because the mom took out like a 15-page document that she wrote. And she just went through it with us. Everything about the kids and their bedtimes and their habits and their schedule. Everything about what was in the refrigerator and when to take something out for the refrigerator and how to cook it. Everything about the washer and dryer and how to run it. Everything, you know, everything about the house. And you know what? We were thankful. And you know what? We referred to that document often throughout the weekend. And you know what? It helped us. It helped us have a great weekend with these kids. She wrote a book. Why? Because she wanted to help us. She knew we needed help, and it helped us. The Holy Spirit wrote you and me a book. It's a book from God. Why? To help us. How does the Holy Spirit's book help us? Well, again, let me just give some applications and then some specific ways the Holy Spirit's book helps us. Applications. And take these home and dwell on them to say, what does this mean to me, these four applications? Hear the word preached. Sit under the teaching of the word. It's part of what the church does. I do it. I listen to many other sermons. Often I read many other sermons. I need to hear the word preached. I know it's not the word of man. It's the word of God. And I need to hear God speaking through a human instrument as they lean into the scriptures. I'm not interested in hearing another person's opinions or views, as wise and as helpful as they might be. I'm really not that interested in that. I'm interested in a person opening up God's word and telling me what the word of God says and how to apply it. I need that. Hear the word of God preached. Secondly, read the word written. God's given us, every one of us, access to read God's word every day, and we'll not ever understand the will of God apart from the help of the Holy Spirit that he's given us in his book. Third, receive the word spoken. Do I mean receive? I mean listen. I mean place yourself under, submit to, obey. So then as God speaks to you directly, don't just let that word, okay, that was something, now I've left church and it's gone, or I had morning devotions and there was a very clear word to me and that God spoke to me about an application to please him, to follow him, and then I just set it aside and don't, but receive it, obey it, place yourself under it. And finally, teach the word given. That every one of us who have been given the word have a responsibility to teach it to someone, whether it's a friend, whether it's one of our children or grandchildren or niece or nephew, a neighbor, fellow church member. All of us have opportunity to teach the word given. We need to share it with each other. Well, how does this book help us? Well, help number one, the Holy Spirit's book helps us to obtain eternal life. If you go back to 1 Peter, Peter makes this observation. He says, since you've been born again, in other words, receive the life of God in your soul. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. See, what Peter is saying is that if any of us have the life of God's Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit's book did something. No one ever receives the life of God's Spirit separate from the ministry of the word of God, separate from the ministry of the Holy Spirit's book. That if anyone has the life of God's Spirit, and we ask, tell us your testimony. Somewhere along their story of receiving the life of God, there's going to be a reception of the Word of God into their soul, a Word implanted. Other passages tell us the same thing. Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 14-15 speaks of Timothy's testimony, and he says of the sacred writings, these are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. James is going to say, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We're saved on the basis of God's grace through faith, and Paul would say faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the word of Christ. And so I want to take a bit of a moment and ask you the question, have you received the life of God in your soul? I don't ask you if you go to church. I don't ask you if you're a member of a church. I don't ask you if you've been baptized. I don't ask you if you've prayed a prayer. I ask you, have you received the life of God in your soul? Do you know that God's life dwells in you through Christ? Do you know that? You say, I don't know if I know that. I'll say, well, here's God's word call. He says, open up God's word and begin to read it. Begin to listen to it. And ask God that his word would have a miraculous work in your soul. You and I can't, we don't have access to make ourselves alive spiritually. We have access to God's word and then to receive God's word. So the word is like a seed that does something miraculous. We can't even understand it. We can't explain it. It's just we know it happens. The Holy Spirit's book is so powerful that when we receive it implanted by faith and with humility, it becomes living. It jumps alive in our soul. That life is offered to everyone. Everyone. The second help, the Holy Spirit's book helps us to grow in our spiritual life. Jesus prays in John 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. In Peter's first letter, he says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word so that you might grow by it. Jesus says in Matthew 4, quoting Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, there is no growing Christian who isn't a Bible man and Bible woman. It's impossible. There is no access to growth, to nourishment, apart from the Holy Spirit's book. But if we have access to it and we receive it by faith, it guarantees growth as we receive it humbly. The third help, the Holy Spirit's book helps us to turn away from soul-destroying sin. Many speak of sin habits that are just so destructive, and they want to turn away from those sin habits, but they feel like they're powerless to, and there's a spiritual dynamic that we ourselves are powerless to turn away from sin habits. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. It is the Holy Spirit's book that gives us power to overcome sin problems. And so the answer, if we have a sin problem, is not to do these four or five or how many steps we might have of self-refinement. The answer is to come before God pleading, saying, I need your word and your spirit to do a work through your word in my life to cleanse me and to rid me of these sins that are plaguing me. The fourth help, the Holy Spirit's book helps us to make wise decisions. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This book is the best counsel anyone can receive. Anyone can receive best counsel. As a pastor, the Holy Spirit's book is my only reliable tool to help people make good decisions in life. Now, I believe there is a spiritual pandemic sweeping through the churches. That virus weakens the trust the saints have in the Bible. And that virus, at the same time of weakening faith in the Bible, strengthens the faith that saints have in their own opinions and in mystical experiences. How often I've heard God's people say, I know what the Bible says, but for my situation right now, I think there's a better way. These precious brothers and sisters believe that at some point the Bible will be a reliable guide for them. They're not turning away from the Bible altogether, and they plan to return to it at some point. But for right now, in this specific situation, it has to be set aside. Many are saying, I know what the Bible says about sexual sin, but for me right now, this is what I need. I know what the Bible says about alcohol, but for me right now, this is what I need. I know what the Bible says about divorce, but for me right now, this is what I need. I know what the Bible says about being committed to a local church family. But for me right now, this is what I need. I know what the Bible says about forgiveness. But for me right now, this is what I need. I know what the Bible says about rejoicing in my trials. But for me right now, this is what I need. It is this virus that undermines our submission to God and a reception of his blessing. And it is this virus that is far more destructive than COVID could ever be. COVID can kill the body, but this virus will take our souls. May we receive this help the Holy Spirit gives us through his book. Help number five, the Holy Spirit's book helps us to find comfort in every affliction. What do we look to when our soul is overwhelmed with sorrow? Well, the Holy Spirit is our comforting, and wrote a comforting book. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Remember your word to your servant, in which you've made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The last help that I'm going to suggest is that the Holy Spirit's book helps us to discern truth from error. And this is Peter's driving point behind this letter. It's his greatest concern as he gazed into the valley of his own imminent physical death. He has a concern for the spiritual discernment of God's people. He believes that many in the church are listening to false teachers and are being led astray by false teachers and having their souls ruined by false teachers. And he calls them back to pay attention to the Holy Spirit's book to help them. As I look upon believers in America, I see a people becoming less interested in God's word and more interested in other sources for life. These sources may be news channels or blogs or inspirational and motivational speakers or personal experiences. But I wish to see more of God's people leaning heavily into the teaching of God's word. So I close with both a warning and an encouragement. The warning is from Amos 8. I can hardly read this without a tremble running through my bones. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they'll run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Wow. No judgment of God frightens me, gives me a terror more than that one does. To have God judge a people and say, I'm withdrawing my word. Without a word, there is no light. And where there is no light, there is only death. But here's the encouragement. And I've seen this too. And I'm so thankful for this because many here in my own local congregation, as well as other congregations, I've seen this true from 1 Thessalonians 2. And we also thank God constantly for this. And this is almost a mourning experience for me as I think of so many of you in this precious congregation. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. Praise God and praise God.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you for listening to Knowing Christ. It's our mission to help our listeners know Christ more and more. And the only way we can know Christ is by paying attention to what God has revealed about Jesus, about his work, about his mission, about his person, through his word. In fact, it's God's word that provides the means by which we listen to God's voice. We listen to Jesus speak to us. And so the word is so central to our lives. I would encourage you as a listener to consider afresh your habits in the word. And from Knowing Christ, we would love to provide a gift of God's word to you. If you don't have a Bible, or if you have a friend or family member who doesn't have a Bible, we would love to send you a copy of God's word as our gift to you. We believe that God's word is such a gift to us, and we just want to pass along that gift through a printed form. Please contact us. Let us know you'd like a free Bible. We'd love to send one to you. May God bless you as you listen to him through his word and respond to him in faith.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.